You're listening to Golf in the Northwest podcast on 1080thefan.com, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires. Doing the right thing matters.
The latest tips and equipment to improve your game. The latest from the leaderboards and your favorite courses. This is Golf in the Northwest, an action-packed hour about everything golf. Brought to you on the fan by Royal Exteriors. Triple pane windows for up to 60% less than double pane. RoyalExteriorsLLC.com. And by Laurelhurst Market, more than just your family neighborhood steakhouse. Now with award-winning PGA professional Harold Bluestein, here's your host, Jason Swigard.
Well, a fine good morning to everyone out here. We are out of the cage, as it were, MacGyvering our way out to Tri-Mountain this morning, Tri-Mountain Golf Course out here in bucolic Ridgefield, your former home, Harold.
It is. It's nice to come back and see everyone here. Well, almost everyone here. But I'm looking at a couple of them right now. This was my digs for about 8 years. I really enjoyed being here. Good people, great golf course, always in really good shape.
Well, and of course, we're going to talk to a couple of them coming up in a little bit at 8:30 in Ask the Pros. Jamie Stillwell, assistant pro out here, is going to sit down with us and work through some things. Talk a little bit about slow play, making sure players of all skill levels have a chance to keep up with the pace. And then general manager here, Brian Michaud, is going to join us in the business of golf. Of course, they've got a big event coming up on Monday. It is the world's largest golf outing that's part of a nationwide effort to get out, play golf, and benefit some charities. And it's all local charities here in Vancouver. It's the Fisher House Foundation. They'll tell us more about that. There's still time to register, though. The event is Monday, August the 5th. You can log on to trimountaingolf.com or worldslargestgolfouting.com and get your foursome. $320 for a foursome. $80 for a single. It'll go off at 9 a.m. on Monday, and Brian will join us in a little bit, tell us a little bit more about the event, some other things going on out here at Tri-Mountain Golf Course. So we appreciate them hosting us here this morning for the next hour as the sun is just coming up. Place was packed with golfers ready to go out. Looks like they had a nice group this morning.
Who gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning to play golf? I mean, I applaud these people, but I woke up this morning a little early to get out here. And it was about 5:45 or something like that. And I went, wait a minute, it's already light out. There's people out there. I know the parking lot of Tri Mountain's probably full by now. It's amazing that, but I guess you play early, you got the rest of the day.
Yeah, that's the main thing. Plus, supposed to get hot this weekend. Supposed to be up near 90. So that's the other thing. If you want to be able to get around without, you know, losing 5 pounds of water, 6 a.m. tee time, 7 a.m. tee time is the perfect perfect thing for that.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and yeah, stay hydrated by all means when you get out there. It's supposed to hit like 93 on tomorrow. And so you got to drink a lot of water and take in what. Beer? Is beer water? Is that considered hydrating?
No, well, hold off on that till the 19th hole. There'll be plenty. It'll be ice cold when you get in here. They have a great restaurant and a great porch that overlooks the course, too. So you don't want to dehydrate yourself out on the course.
All right. So now, yeah, but I was asking, does beer qualify?
No.
It
no.
does not.
No.
Wine does not.
No.
Moscow Mules. Yes.
That's debatable.
Okay. Yeah, I could have used one yesterday. We could probably use one this morning.
Yeah, wouldn't hurt. But so that's what we've got coming up. A lot to get to, as well as the PGA Tour and the Korn Ferry Tour are winding down. Of course, next week we will be out at Pumpkin Ridge as the Winco Foods Portland Open, presented by Kraft Heinz, will be in town, and we will witness the next 25 players to earn their PGA Tour card. So we're excited about that. We also found out we're going to have a chance in a couple of weeks to talk to Marina Alex, who's the defending champion of the LPGA event here in Portland, the Cambia Classic. She's performing pretty well, one of the top Americans out at the Ricoh Women's British Open. So we'll have a chance to talk to her in a couple of weeks, too.
Yeah, and a chance to make the Solheim Cup team. because, and we'll talk a little bit about that. Some of the veterans aren't going to be there. So Marina has a chance to join that team.
So a lot to get to here, but as always, we start by going inside the ropes.
It's time for an insider's look at the leaderboards. The latest on all tours, plus local golf events and golf news. This is Inside the Ropes, part of Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on the fan by Royal Exteriors. Triple pane windows for up to 60% less than double pane. RoyalExteriorsLLC.com.
Well, it was a busy week on tours, all the tours last week. You had the WGC event going on, Brooks Koepka getting in there, showing up about 40 minutes before his tee time in the final group on Sunday. That got a lot of play. You had Bernhard Langer finally doing what he does, which is winning majors on the Champions Tour. And Jin Young Ko winning the Evian and pretty much securing her place as the LPGA Player of the Year. I don't know if anybody can catch her. She's the world number one player now.
Well, yeah, and won two majors this year, and she might have a chance, although she didn't play very well this in the last round. But she has a chance to win three majors this year. That's remarkable. The men, no one did it on the men's side. Just for a second on Brooks Koepka, we got to talk about him. He was ill coming from the British Open into to the American side, to Southwind, and showed up 45 minutes before his tee time and went out and won the darn thing. So he's just a remarkable player.
Well, and let me ask in this regard, in some regards, is that even more amazing than some of the things that Tiger has done? Because Tiger is the ultimate grinder. He's there 4 hours before his tee time. He's there 2 hours after he's done playing, working meticulously on any little tiny aspect of his game. And yes, his record is, it's him and Jack as the greatest players ever, however you want to break down that debate. But for Brooks, he's now won four majors. He wins a WGC event, so he's the only three-time winner on tour this year, including a major. He's finished top two in a couple of others. And he's a bit cavalier in his approach to his craft.
Well, I don't know if he's cavalier, but he is, has a really good plan going into these tournaments. He doesn't really gear up that much for the normal tournaments. He even admits it. And for the majors, he's decided all I need to do is be in the near the end, the final round. I got to be in the top four or five, and I can win it. Now, that sounds pretty arrogant, but he really relies on his incredible athletic ability. How do you compare him with Tiger? Well, I don't think you can yet. There's some things he's done that are similar to what Tiger did, but Tiger's career was huge. When you look at what Brooks could have done this year, he came close to winning Masters, came close to winning the U.S. Open, and he wins the PGA. He could have won three majors this year. He didn't. So I think it's a little early to compare the two.
Is he somebody that could win a Grand Slam? Is that the way that he is set up? Obviously, I think the toughest one for him might be the Open Championship, depending on the course and the conditions. We saw the conditions got the best of him on Sunday at the Open because he went bogey, 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 bogey start. And some of those courses, he just can't simply overpower the way he can a lot of courses in the United States.
Well, he didn't do badly at the British Open this year, tied for fourth.
No, but he had a chance to close it down in those conditions, and the conditions got him.
Well, I don't know if the conditions got him or the putting got him. He just didn't make enough putts. I think Brooks Koepka, quite frankly, can handle any condition. But as you say, the British might be the most difficult for him. But this guy's a great athlete. I think he can adjust and he can learn how to play them. Can he win a career Grand Slam? He might do well to win like the Tiger Slam. Tiger did in 2001. Steve came close in 2015. But these are situations that don't come along very often. So if Brooks did it, I wouldn't be surprised, but it's not normal for a player to do that.
We take a look at the action going on this week. Obviously, the Korn Ferry Tour of considerable importance, as they'll be in Portland next week for the finale of the regular season. They are down in Central California, the TPC Stonebray for the LE May Classic. Fog delay on round two, so they're still finishing that up this morning. But right now, Scott Gatchewski and Edward Laurie are leaders at 11 under, but there's our man Scott Harrington. He's in the clubhouse. He's 9 under, currently tied with Zach Blair. Maverick McNeely has fallen one back at 8. He's on the course right now finishing up, but for Scott, if he can have a finish up there, get maybe near the top 30, he would have a real chance to play his way into a PGA Tour card, and doing it at Pumpkin Ridge in front of family and friends would be pretty exciting next week.
It certainly would be, and for all of us to see a local guy do well, it's always kind of fun. Having the Korn Ferry in Portland is huge for Portland, and I hope people get out to support it. I know I'll be there in the beer garden. They've got a lot of wine. So it's a par three.
Right next to the 12th.
Yeah, the 12th hole. What a great place to down a couple of sets of wine and watch the golf shot.
And they've reshaped it this year, so there won't be the grandstands behind the green. It's going to be the BMW fan party deck. So it's just going to be an open deck, so people can just hang out there and whatever. Sanders is trying to make that a little bit more like the 16th at TPC Scottsdale.
Right.
Minus the 7, you know, he'll get 7, if he gets 7,000 out there rather than 70,000, he'll be happy.
Around that one hole, about 20,000. Yeah, there's not a lot of room around there, but it's a great place to watch and a great hole. I saw a lot of shots go left and into the water there. It was trying to avoid left and then go right into the bunker and that's a tough bunker shot. I look forward to this tournament every year. It's so much fun to go out there and watch your best players in the world play. And we get to see that here in Portland.
No question. And I'll be out there on Friday hosting Dirt and Sprague. I think you're going to have a little drop-in cameo with me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dirt and Sprague bailed on Friday. So I'm like, all right, I'm out there hosting.
You're out there alone.
I'm going to have a cast of thousands. I think Andrew Nemec might come in. We'll chat a little football. Seahawks will have played their first preseason game on Thursday, so we'll have a little football. We'll have a little golf.
Okay.
Maybe
okay.
A little baseball. We'll see.
What day is that?
That's Friday.
Let me put that on my calendar.
Yeah, let me put that on your calendar. Meanwhile, the LPGA Tour, their last major of the year, back-to-back majors. It's the Ricoh Women's British Open, and they are at, let me see. What the course was there.
So England, really
Woburn Golf Club.
You know, and I was actually watching it yesterday on TV. The weather is just really quite nice for them. It's certainly not like it was for the men.
No.
And they're scoring quite well.
Yeah, Ashley Buhai from South Africa is your leader at 13 under. Backed up a 65 on the opening day with a 67. Carlotta Segonda. They're second at 10 under, and there's Jin Young Ko again, 9 under par. They're in the middle of round three right now. She's in a tie with Hanako Shibuno from Japan. Anna Nordqvist, Aria Jutanagarn, Caroline Masson, Lizette Salas, Sung Hyung Park, all in at 8 under. So the question will be a relatively unknown player in Ashley Buhai. Can she keep her lead, her cushion, going into a final round or... There's a lot of big names right behind her, including the number one ranked player in the world in Jin Young Ko. It'll be interesting to see how she holds up under that pressure.
Yeah, it's tough to make some penetration that way. Her best finish in the British Open was a tie for 30th in 2017. So this is really quite a challenge for her. We'll see how she does. Local favorite Charlie Hall is right there playing her home course. That's kind of exciting. It would be nice to see another homegrown player like Shane Lowry winning the men's British Open. It would be nice to see her win.
Yep, and they're obviously gearing up for the Solheim Cup, too. So they're wanting to put their best performance forward. For the PGA Tour, it's their last event before the FedEx Cup playoffs, so a lot of people scrambling trying to get into that top 125. Byung-Hun Ahn grabbed the lead late in round two. He's 13 under par. He's safely into the playoffs. Bryce Garnett made a late charge, too, to get to 12 under. But then Sung Jae-im, last year's winner at the Winco Foods Portland Open, as well as the number one player on the Korn Ferry Tour. But here's where you get it. Patton Kizzire, who's a former graduate coming through the Winco Foods. He's at 129 coming into the week. If he can finish in the top three, he'll get in. Adam Svensson from Canada, he's 171. He basically has to win the tournament to get into the FedEx Cup playoffs. Then you got 40-year-old Josh Teeter is at 165. He's in that group at 11 under. So a lot going on there for guys trying to win a tournament, trying to get into the top 10 for the big bonus pool for the FedEx Cup, and then guys trying to get into 125 to be able to play in the next tournament.
Well, that's what's happening this year, and I guess every year, is that the majors are over, and now it's about how are you going to do personally and save your career going forward, either next season or seasons after that. We see it at the Korn Ferry next week, guys trying to get into that top 25. Here, players are trying to get into the top 125. It's not easy to do. You've got players like Webb Simpson and Paul Casey who are trying to stay in that group, and they're accomplished players. But you got, like you say, you got Josh Teeter, who has been out there for a while, but he'd like to be out there again. So it's kind of exciting to see what's going on this time of the year. I was thinking that after the majors, the season's kind of over. Well, I'll sit back. There's not much to do. There's much football. But I think the best thing to do now is to watch, see how these players do coming into the playoff.
No question. Tiger said he's going to play in the first two FedEx Cup events for sure. And obviously, if he stays in the top, gets into the top 30, he'll play the Tour Championship where he's the defending champion. So that's exciting. Look, we're all excited for football season to come. Then we watch 5 minutes of preseason football and remember why we hate it so much and can't wait for the regular season. So a lot of time to take in golf here over the next 3 weeks. And we'll see if those FedEx Cup events get some higher ratings and capture a little bit more of the casual sporting audience than they have played in September. That'll be interesting to watch here over the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, it certainly will be. I know I'm going to enjoy watching these players trying to make it in. There's every player has a personal story. And you mentioned Scott Harrington, the personal story there, and the Shane Lowrys and the Gary Woodlands, congratulations on a new baby. Those personal stories really come to the surface this time of the year on every tour.
No question. We'll talk a little bit about more of some of those personal stories. The 2019-2020 PGA schedule was released last week. Some changes to how they'll do cuts on the PGA Tour this coming season. We'll discuss that next out here live at Tri-Mountain Golf Course here in Ridgefield. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. Jason Swigart, Harold Bluestein back here at Tri-Mountain Golf Course out in Ridgefield. Happy to be out here this morning. Thanks to Brian Mashaw, the general manager, for inviting us out. We'll talk to him coming up in the business of golf at 8:45 about their big event on Monday. It's part of the world's largest golf outing, a day for golf with friends, family, colleagues, and it will benefit the Fisher House Foundation here locally. You can log on to trymountaingolf.com, and there'll be on the big banner page a link to it. You still foursomes available to sign up. It'll be played on Monday at 9 a.m. So whether you're a single, a twosome, or a foursome, we'll talk more to Brian about that coming up in the business of golf. And then assistant pro here, Jamie Stillwell, going to join us at 8:30 in our Ask the Pros segment. But as we continue on, we mentioned a lot looking ahead now on the professional tours for the LPGA. We're about a month away from the Solheim Cup. They'll play Glen Eagles up in Scotland. And after you get past maybe the top four for the U.S. and the points, Lexi Thompson, Danielle Kang, and the Korda sisters, a lot of questions after that about who really is playing well. Lizette Salas is fifth. She was among the leaders early on at the British Open for the women and had a tough third round and has fallen back. But Then you get down, Megan Kang, Brittany Altimore, Allie McDonald. A lot of first-timers appear to going to be make their first Solheim Cup team, so a lot of work for Julie Inkster.
Yeah, it's got to be a tough decision. She's got Christian Keller's not playing well. Stacey Lewis isn't playing well. You've got Paula Kramer is struggling. Who else?
Brittany Lincecum. She won't be there. Her
Michelle Lee won't be there.
Michelle Lee won't be there. Yeah, Brittany Lincecum, of course, had her baby prematurely. And an amazing story, but it looks like things are getting better for her.
Yeah,
and her young daughter who is gaining weight. So that, I mean, she's got bigger concerns, obviously, than worrying about a Solheim Cup.
Yeah, exactly. Julie Inkster is probably happy that Brittany's spending a lot of time with the baby. So we're looking at five Solheim Cup rookies. Julie's got to decide on which veterans to bring in, because she's going to need some veterans. Chances are it's going to be probably Morgan Preston, for one.
And I would think, we'll have to see.
And possibly Paula Kramer.
Yeah, she has played well of late, and if she can continue that, hopefully, you know, she's been beset by hand and wrist injuries that have plagued her, but she's seemingly getting it together here of late, and a couple of veterans like that to help settle the nerves of the rookies and turn them loose out there. It's going to be a pretty young European squad, too, save for maybe Carlotta Segonda and Caroline Masson, who's always on that team. But otherwise, it's going to be a lot of those youngsters who will be excited to be in front of family and friends.
Yeah, and you're really seeing a changing of the guard now, aren't you? We talked about that last week with Tiger and Phil Mickelson on the tour. You're going to see it in the team games. President's Cup should be interesting. I hope Tiger doesn't decide to play. That would be a mistake. Put in a young player, develop them, get them prepared to play in the Ryder Cup so that we don't lose by more than 10 points.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see for him if he grabs a Matthew Wolff or a Morikawa, who's come on like gangbusters all of a sudden, if he uses one of his captain's picks for them. Knowing Tiger, he's going to take a veteran somewhere along the way. That's just how he operates.
He's going to probably take Tim Furyk.
Yeah.
I don't know if Furyk is around for a little bit. But Furyk is steady, and he loses quite well in the Ryder Cup. He's always depend on him coming through poorly. I mean, he's got a terrible record. But he's a good guy to have in the locker room. You mentioned the college players, and I mentioned before we went on the air, there's a lot of college players coming out before they graduate. So it's kind of like the college basketball, the one and done. Is this going to hurt the quality of the amateur fields for the U.S. amateur and for the college championships?
Necessarily, no. I mean, other than Tiger Woods, how many of the last dozen U.S. amateur winners can you name off the top of your head?
On would be one. I think we've got somebody headed to the tee box here. Guys, get out there and hit it. What were we talking about? How many we? Well,
yeah, the U.S. amateur. I mean, I don't know.
He won the U.S. Amateur. So you've got players who have won the U.S. Amateur that are coming out. It'd be good. I think where it'll impact for Matthew Wolff and
Morikawa, Colin Morikawa.
Yeah, is the Walker Cup team, where they're not contributing to the amateur team event like they did in the past. But I think it'll really impact the quality of the U.S. Amateur. The U.S. Amateur used to be a major way back when. It was a big deal when Arnold Palmer and Gary Jack Nicklaus were winning. But it's not as big a deal now. And I think it's because so many of the college players are turning pro right away. And so there's less emphasis or spotlight on that tournament. which is a shame because it is quite an accomplishment.
No question. And maybe we'll see. I mean, Tiger was winning it as a teenager, so maybe that's what we'll see. Maybe we'll see those teenagers, the 16, 17, 18-year-old phenoms, have a chance to do that and build a little brand
before they get to college.
Okay. So, Tiger did the same thing. He was only at Stanford for, what, 1 year or two left after his sophomore? So the handful of guys, the three or four every year that are special, if they come out after their sophomore years, I don't think that's going to take away too much. It's not like 25 guys are coming out early.
It's pretty remarkable that these players are winning so early.
Yep.
I think coming out and winning in there. What Morikawa was, he's won five cuts or something like that, six targets, and he's won one. That's pretty remarkable for a young player. What are they going to do in their sophomore year? You know, so are they going to come out, make a splash, and then, you know, struggle for a year or two and then come back?
Well, that's why we have the Korn Ferry Tour. That's the amazing thing. You talk about the PGA Tour. They released their schedule for next year. There are now 49 official events going on. They will start September 12th. It'll be the old Greenbrier that got squeezed out when they condensed the schedule from January to April. So that one's coming back. It'll kick off the season. Also, the Houston Open is now in that wraparound portion of the schedule. So there'll be the Safeway Open, of course, down at Silverado, that Sanderson Farms Championship in Jackson. So there's going to be some more events for guys to build up some points, some FedEx Cup points, get a little money early on. So it's going to be interesting to see how that affects the established players.
Yeah.
Are they going to have to start playing a few more of these events early on in the wraparound schedule, just so they don't get left behind if they don't get off to a good start when we do get to Hawaii in the West Coast swing?
Well, I think it'll give them a lot more options. I think what the tour is doing is providing players with more playing options, which I think is fantastic. For those players, the veterans, if they go through a slump, the slump doesn't have to all of a sudden take over the entire season. There's still a lot of the season left, so they can work through it. We talked several weeks ago. I brought up the subject that players now, if they're working on their golf swings, they normally have done that in the offseason. Now there's no offseason, so they've got to kind of pick it up as they go along. This is the problem that Christy Kerr is having right now. She just changed coaches. She's working on her swing. She wants to make it better. She's in the season, so it's very difficult to do that on the fly. Good athletes, but I don't care who you are. You change equipment, change your swing or whatever, there's always a disruption and the potential for a slump.
Well, the other thing the PGA Tour is changing as well, they are reducing the field that will make the cut from 70 to 65 plus ties for next season. That is in line with what the Korn Ferry Tour does and the Champions Tour does. And so they're trying to avoid having to go off split tees and playing threesomes on the weekend, addressing slow play, as well as making sure that those people that make the cut, it's a little bit more competitive for them. It reduces spreading out of prize money and all those sorts of things. Yeah, but it's more about the quality of play and the pace of play on the weekends.
Well, you mentioned the threesomes on the weekend. That doesn't happen unless they have a weather delay. You're eliminating five players, maybe up to 10 players. That will help with pace of play overall. But what it does is if you don't make the cut, you don't make a check. So what it does is makes the rich richer. So who does that appeal to? Well, the guys running the tour, the upper echelon players. So the other guys are SOL when it comes to making a cut. I don't know if it's going to be a worthwhile change. Just like I don't think that expanding from 45 to 49 tournaments is all that good for the tour, because let's face it, too much can be too much. And you mentioned preseason football. I hate it. I mean, it's just stupid. Why? Just let's have a couple of games and then go play. Yeah. Play the season. And so I think that it could hurt fan participation and viewership.
So some things to watch when they get going here next season. We're reaching the turn here on Golf in the Northwest. We're live out here at Tri Mountain Golf Course out in Ridgefield. When we come back in our Ask the Pro segment, Jamie Stillwell is going to join us. She's an assistant pro out here, played a little at Concordia as well. We'll talk about keeping up with the pace of play and some other things as we continue on. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan.
Tips for your game from award-winning PGA instructor Harold Bluestein. It's time to Ask the Pro on Golf in the Northwest. Brought to you on The Fan by Laurelhurst Market.
Jason Swigard, Harold Bluestein back here at Tri Mountain Golf Course. Clouds are parting. The sun is out. It's going to be a gorgeous day. Several groups already out on the course here. Of course, we'll talk to Brian Nashad, the general manager, coming up the business of golf, getting ready for Monday's world's largest golf outing to benefit the Fisher House here locally. But right now, to help us out, we're joined by Jamie Stillwell, the assistant pro here, one of the assistant pros. Good morning, Jamie.
Good morning.
Well, it's a gorgeous day out here. The course is looking in outstanding condition. Just let everybody know a little bit about some of the things that you've got cooking out here and maybe a little bit about your background, how you got to become one of the assistant pros here at Tri Mountain.
Yeah, I started playing high school golf like sophomore year and really started committing to it. Actually started taking lessons from Harold and just loved the sport. Was terrible at it when I started. Just the worst, and I hated being bad at things, so decided to really go for it and practice a lot and ended up getting a college scholarship at Concordia, played there for a year, love working here at Tri Mountain, and eventually dipped my feet into the PGA program and just seeing where it takes me.
So, Jamie, yes, we did work together for when you were in high school. I had a great time working with you. She's a hard worker. That's one thing I can tell you. No matter what Jamie puts her mind to, she tends to succeed at, and I'm pretty proud of her. One of the things, when we first started working together, and you work with some high school players now, what's the and you work with boys and girls, what's the one problem that you see that they have most?
Just, it seems like a lack of dedication to practice between lessons. A lot of kids are so committed to other sports, they find it hard to focus on golf alone. And I think that's what really makes a huge difference in golf is that practice time. If you're not getting reps between lessons, it makes it really hard to improve.
Well, it absolutely does. Practice doesn't make perfect. It makes permanent. So we know that you don't get anywhere without practice. So what do you recommend? Now, is it just personality type in some cases? Some kids are just expected to have be able to perform well, or are they just spoon-fed from mom and dad, and so they don't have any real commitment? How do you see that problem?
I think it might just be the everyone's indoors now and on their phones instead of going out and doing things. When I was taking lessons from Harold, I was practicing in the backyard with wiffle balls for half hour, hour a day, just trying to work on whatever we'd been doing the past week. And I think that's what's really missing.
Yeah, I would agree. So there is a lot of time spent with that stupid Xbox and stuff. So I'd like to see kids get out and practice, but what specific skill do you recommend? And I know you teach a lot of adults too. How can they improve their scores like right away?
Short game, short game, short game. That is my favorite thing to teach. And I think it makes the biggest improvement on a score overall.
Yeah, so when we talk about short game, we're looking at putting, we're looking at chipping and pitching. I usually work with a player's putting stroke and close to the hole and then work further away. What problems do you see in the average player's putting?
Lack of consistency with the lag putting, really, and lack of confidence with the shorter putts. Just not practicing those shorter putts. My favorite thing to do, especially with the kids, is have them go out onto our Tri Mountain 9-hole putting course I think it's like the hidden gem at Tri Mountain. People don't realize that it's open to the public all the time. It's like an adult version of putt-putt almost. Like, the greens are amazing here, and you can come out and use them anytime. It's a nine-hole facility, and you can start on one, try and two-putt your way around the nine holes, improve your score the second time. It's a great, great thing here at Tri Mountain.
Jamie Stillwell is our guest assistant pro out here at Tri Mountain Golf Course. You talked about for youngsters, and same thing for adults, is making sure you have time to practice. Obviously, our lives are a lot busier for kids that are playing other sports. I think sometimes thinking you got to be out there for hours upon hours beating balls is not productive. How do you help them get the most having structured practice? So maybe it's just 45 minutes, an hour and a half, in between those lessons to get the most out of it, so they're actually learning and retaining it and can bring it back to the golf course when they're ready to play.
I like to give them homework at the end of every lesson, drills to do daily, even if it's just 10, 20 reps a day. Anything's going to help their game at that point.
So we're talking to Jamie Stillwell here at Tri Mountain Golf Course, and Jamie now is teaching. You have group lessons, you have private lessons. Talk a little bit about your group programs that you have, what nights, cost, things like that for people.
Yeah, so group lessons are a really good option to get friends together and learn together. A lot of people are uncomfortable when they first start playing. They want to have someone with them that's learning as well, and I totally get that. I started on a team, so that really made me more comfortable. Seeing other people improve with me was really nice. At Tri Mountain, we have a bunch of clinics. We have wedge clinics. We have fitting clinics. Our other assistant here, Michael Parker, is doing ladies clinics, I believe, on Wednesdays and Saturday nights, and you can sign up through our website on our calendar.
So, yeah, there's a lot of options, and it's so few people take lessons, and yet that's the only way you're going to get any better. So if you're complaining about your game, I think you call Jamie or Mike Parker here, and you get yourself a lesson at Tri Mountain.
Jamie, thanks so much for taking a few minutes for us here. Thanks for having us out this morning, and we look forward to seeing a lot of people come take your tutelage here in the coming years.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Jamie Stillwell, assistant pro out here at Tri Mountain Golf Course, where the sun is out. The dew is evaporating off of the greens. There's a lot of groups out here, as there will be on a Monday. When we come back, we're going to talk to General Manager Brian Michaud and let you know about the world's largest golf outing and how it's benefiting the Fisher House Foundation right here in Clark County, how you can be a part of it, and some of the other great things going on out here at Tri Mountain as we head down the stretch. It's Golf in the Northwest on 1080 The Fan. Welcome back in, 8:46 here, wrapping things up on Golf in the Northwest. Center and Sink coming up following us, and you'll have Red Sox-Yankees baseball at 9:30 over on 910. We're out here live at Tri Mountain Golf Course in Ridgefield. The sun is breaking through the clouds. It is an absolutely gorgeous Saturday out here. Course looks to be in excellent condition, and right now we are joined by the general manager here, Brian Michaud. Brian, thanks so much for having us out this morning. Course looks to be in fantastic shape. How's it been playing of late?
Thanks for coming out. I'm glad to have you guys. It's been playing actually really well. There's a lot of run on the balls. The greens are really receptive, quite smooth, probably running around 10.5, 11 out there. Superintendent does a great job.
Well, I would imagine compared to some previous years, last year we had all the fires, the hot weather, and the smoke. Has the weather and the winter was fairly mild. I would imagine the weather has been as helpful as you could expect in recent years out here.
It really has. It's allowed the course to dry out in certain spots, and we've gotten some projects done that have been on the books for a while. The course overall, though, is playing quite well. The tall grass was cut down a little earlier than expected because we had it grow a little bit. So for those golfers who hit it a little wayward, it's a little easier to find your ball right now than it was about 2 months ago.
Well, and I thank you for that, because I do tend to hit it wayward. Coming up on Monday, though, you guys are having a special event out here, part of the world's largest golf outing. We've heard the spots running on the station, benefits the Fisher House Foundation. Maybe explain a little bit about kind of what the world's largest golf outing is all about, and how Tri-Mountain has gotten involved with it.
Sure. So Billy Casper Golf, which is the management company that we are a part of, does a golf outing on the same day with all of its properties throughout the nation. And so the world's largest golf outing has benefited the Fisher House Foundation for the past few years. Last year, there was over $340,000 raised for the Fisher House nationwide. This year, donations have already gotten to $270,000 and continue to rise. So for those who don't know, the Fisher House Foundation is pretty close to a comparison of like a Ronald McDonald House, only for military veterans, active military, and their families. So when somebody needs medical care and their family doesn't have a place to stay next to those medical facilities, the Fisher House Foundation allows them to go in and stay rent-free. They pay for the food that's available. On average, it's about $10 to $12 to house a family for a week. So any donation, whether it's a small one or a large one, every 10 bucks covers a family for a week in one of those locations. So it's a really good cause. There's been a lot of great stories that have come out from it. People who were not considering taking their medical care because their families weren't able to go along, or somebody couldn't take care of the other member of the household. The Fisher House allows those families to go over, still be taken care of. Their loved ones can get the medical care they need. And a lot of those people are on the mend or in better situations than they were before.
So you're looking at this happening Monday, mm-hmm. and there's still time to sign up for this?
Yeah, the registration is still open. I believe we're going to have about 10 to 12 spots really that are open, because I know that some people have registered overnight. But even if you're not going to participate in the golf events, you can go online and you can actually make a donation. So whether you're a golfer or not, you might know a military family that has used this facility or that may be using this facility. Here's the chance to contribute.
So is this a shotgun start, or are you going to run tee time?
It's a shotgun start. Registration is going to be at 7 a.m. Shotgun's going to go off at 9 o'clock. There will be a luncheon after the fact. There's going to be a representative from the Fisher House here all day on the property to let everybody know how the proceeds go and what the Fisher House does. So,
Brian Michaud, general manager here at Tri-Mountain Golf Course, our guest here, and again, the world's largest golf outing going on Monday. So as I mentioned, a few spots still available. You can log on, go straight to trimountaingolf.com, and there'll be a link through if you're looking to register for that. If people aren't able to come out on Monday and be a part of that event, though, still lots of opportunities to come out and play the course. What are some of the other events that are going on here, or other ways to come out and really play this wonderful golf course out here in Ridgefield?
So there's a few different opportunities that we provide. There's all kinds of passes where people can get discounts on their rounds. If they're just getting into the game, I would say that we probably have one of the better practice facilities, short game areas, putting facilities of almost any golf course that's a public golf course in the area. There's always a time for a tee time, even if you're coming in after work. The sun's still up really late, so you can come in and play nine. If anybody has any questions about any of these programs, they can call the golf course directly. Option number three will get you somebody in the pro shop, and they'll be able to answer any question you might have.
Any deals you've got going on golf right now?
Always a deal going. There's always our Ridgeline card programs. Those ones get you a free round and cart when you purchase into it. It also gets you discounts on merchandise. You get about $10 to $20 off your round every single time that you play early or twilight. There's always going to be online channels. I know that Portland Perks has a program. You'll probably see some winter stuff coming on with Groupon and Costco. So there's always a good way to do it.
For those that haven't played out here, maybe haven't played out in a while, a couple of local knowledge tips. What do they need to make sure that their game is prepared for when they come out to Tri-Mountain?
So first tip that's going to be really helpful, it's never good to be long at Tri-Mountain when you're approaching the greens. There's nothing good behind the greens here. So if you're a long hitter, play on the short side. If you tend to enjoy the wind, afternoon, this is the place for you. We tend to get 15 to 25 mile an hour gusts all the time. So that's a fun time to go out and play. If you don't like the wind, try to book your tee time early.
Well, I can tell you, it's not as windy as he says. I really enjoy it. When it's 100 degrees or even 90 and there's a little breeze out here, it's usually about 5-10 miles an hour. It really cools things off. So I appreciate that. Don't go long, like you said. Don't hit it sideways. Swag, I don't know where you'll be when you hit it out here. But this is a link-style golf course, so you have to be really aware of where you're aiming. When you look out there, you might not see a lot of trees, and a park setting will kind of direct you. Here you better have an idea where you want to go. Brian, there's other things that you can do out here at Tri-Mountain. You've got outings. How do people go about booking an outing?
So if they want to send in an inquiry, they can always go onto our website. There's a link if anybody's interested in hosting an outing or an event. Those emails come directly to me, and I forward them on to our head professional, Jake Gragas. They can always call the course and ask for us directly as well. We'll get the basic information and provide the information that we can offer to the individual and figure out what we can do to make their event the best it possibly can be.
Well, it's looking in great shape. The facilities here, as you mentioned, are expansive and top-notch. Brian Michaud, general manager here at Tri-Mountain Golf Course. Thanks so much for having us out here this morning. And again, TriMountainGolf.com. There'll be a link if you still want to get into the world's largest golf outing for Monday morning, benefiting the Fisher House Foundation. Thanks so much, Brian.
Thanks a lot, guys, for coming out. We appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you hosting us as well, and hopefully we can fill things up, fill those last final foursomes for Monday for you. That'll do it for us. Of course, we will be out at the Winco Foods Portland Open presented by Kraft Heinz next week. Again, I'll be there most of the day Friday afternoon as well, hosting Dirt and Sprague as well. I might be sitting in with Souk too. Everybody's gone, so that means more time for me. It's going to be a great event. We're looking forward to it, hoping Scotty Harrington has a big weekend at the Ellie Mae, and he's in position. Harold, we'll see you out there at Pumpkin Ridge next week.
Yeah, I'll be out there Thursday, Friday. I'll come out and save your butt during the show. But if anybody can carry a three-hour show by themselves, it's you, Spud.
Well, let's hope we don't have to do that. I'm going to try and enlist some help from some of my friends as well. But we hope to see you out there as well. And we hope to see you out here playing some golf at Tri-Mountain as well. That'll do it for us. Thanks to Will Darkins back in the studio, our engineer there. Thanks to Brian and Jamie for joining us out here at Tri-Mountain. For Harold, I'm Jason. Hit him straight.
Susie said yes. They're tightening up.
It's not like he's just sitting around sleeping all day. The little bit of moisture, I'm guessing, that we got sucked moisture out of the greens.
Oh, my gosh. It came up Peter Jacobson.
Yeah, you're so breathing water.
Squishy.
How to make a golf course harder. One way is to add length.
I do recommend you move it around.
I'm a super senior.
So I'm sure they had her out beating balls until the cows came home. Put all that crap out of your head. Now, how would I adjust? Well, I've got to choke down on my club a little bit.
Fiji's in Europe.
Bogey, 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 bogey.